So today we begin a brand new sermon series called Christian Atheists. A lot of you, some of you here maybe are Christians, and you know what Christian is. You know who a Christian is. A Christian is a person that believes in Jesus Christ. Maybe you have received baptism. And you know what an atheist is. Atheist is a person that simply doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in the existence of God or gods. And it's interesting, when you put those two words together, what do you get? This definition is a person who claims to believe in God, but lives as if he doesn't exist. A person who claims to believe in God, but lives as if he doesn't exist. So it's in this sermon series we want to tackle some false beliefs, or maybe better word this way, false unbeliefs that are characteristics of this kind of people. And our prayer is that throughout this series, we can identify where we stand in our faith, and we can realign ourselves back to God and what he teaches about our life and about our faith. So before we begin today, today's topic, I want to introduce you to a movie. Some of you may have watched this movie. It is called Total Recall from 1990s. And there is a remake of this in 2012, I believe, but I'm talking specifically about the 1990, the original one. When it first came out, I think it was pretty groundbreaking. I wasn't there when it first came out, but I heard that it was pretty groundbreaking from the reviews. You know, because its visual effects, its concept, its plot line, it's ahead of its time. And I think more importantly, because it was somewhat relatable to the people during that time. And I think in some sense, it's also relatable to us today. What happens to the story? The story takes place in the near future, not too far from now, 2084. 2084 is approximately 65 years from now. And our protagonist is called Douglas Quaid, and he's played by none other than Terminator himself. He's a construction worker who finds his life boring and lifeless. So one day on his way to work, he was on the subway, or the SkyTrain, and he saw this advertisement from one of those TVs, and he saw this company called Recall. Recall is a company that plants false memories into people's brains so that you can have a very realistic experience of something without physically being in that location. So for example, right? So you can have the experience of going to Paris, and you can have the experience of shopping all the stuff, and you can have the experience of selfieing in front of the Eiffel Tower, but all this time you're just in the machine and you're plugged in. And the best thing about this is you can design your experience, so you can customize it to your liking. You can design your occupation, you can design your experience, and you can even design what your spouse is going to look like, or your boyfriend, or your girl. You can design anything in this machine. And that's even not the best thing. The best thing is you won't be able to tell the difference between the perceived reality inside the machine and the actual reality of you lying down. So inside this machine, inside the experience, you don't know that you're just lying down. So Douglas Quaid, right? Back to Douglas Quaid. Douglas Quaid, he saw this advertisement on the subway, and he is in this lifeless job, 9-to-5 construction, really tiring, really boring. He thinks his life needs a dose of excitement. So what does he do? He goes to this company in hopes to find a vacation or a getaway of some sort. And so he goes to this company, he talks to the salesperson, he says, "I want to go to Mars." Mars, supposedly in 2084, is now a colony, so you can go there for a vacation. So he wants to go to Mars, but he doesn't actually want to go to Mars. He just wants to have the experience of going to Mars. So he says to the salesperson in Recall, "I want to go to Mars. Can I have an experience of going to Mars?" And here, I want to show you a clip in just a second. It's a conversation between Douglas and one of the salesmen. And Douglas was just convinced of how good this technology is. And now the salesman is going through some options of the trip with him. Let's take a look.
Some of our options.
No options.
Whatever you say. Could I ask you just one question, though? What is it that is exactly the same about every single vacation you have ever taken?
I give up.
You? You're the same. No matter where you go, there you are. It's always the same old you. Let me suggest that you take a vacation from yourself. And I know, it sounds wild. It is the latest thing in travel. We call it the ego trip.
No, I'm not interested in that.
You're going to love this, Doug. We offer you a choice of alternate identities during your trip. I mean, face it. Why go to Mars as a tourist when you can go as a playboy or a famous jock or...
Secret agent. How much is that?
Ah, let me tantalize you. You are a top operative, back under deep cover on your most important mission. People are trying to kill you left and right. You meet this beautiful, exotic woman.
Come on.
I don't want to spoil it for you, Doug, But you rest assured, by the time the trip is over, you get the girl, kill the bad guys, and save the entire planet. Now you tell me, isn't that worth a measly 300 credits?
Would you plug in? That's the question I have for today. Say in the near future, right? I don't think it's too hard to imagine. This technology is invented. You know, if you're just up to date with any of the gaming stuff, any of the movie stuff, you know, virtual reality, all this stuff is just going and going. So I think in the near future, this is going to come up very soon. And you have to face this question sooner or later. So might as well answer that now. Would you plug in? Would you plug into this machine? I think personally speaking, if for a vacation, I would definitely do it. I think it's worth a try, you know. Maybe it's a little cheaper on actually traveling. It's definitely a lot safer. Maybe it's even better of an experience because you can design your trip to your liking so that there's no jet lags, there's no plane delays, there's no airport mess, all the weather is super nice and you get to buy the thing you want to. So you can design your own experience. I think, personally, it's definitely worth a go. And what's better yet is I don't just want a vacation, maybe some of us here. You want to live the life of a celebrity, right? Or astronaut, billionaire. You can do that. And you're going to have the experience. And you don't have to go through the hard work that they did. And you could just plug in and go, here I go. I am a celebrity from now on. So would you plug in for like maybe a couple of weeks, you know, next time you have your long break or vacation? I would definitely give it a try, I think. Let's say if we go with this for a little longer, right? Hypothetically speaking, you can plug into this machine for as long as you want. As long as you want. Say that it doesn't cost anything. You can basically spend your whole life in this machine, living the life that you so dreamed of and designed yourself, the ideal life. You know, and throughout this experience, I give you this option, you can wake up every few years to make updates to your program so that you can, if you end up not liking the girl, you can update it so that a better girl comes up or something. If you don't, you can make patch notes to your machine so that your life every few years is back on track and is exactly the same way or exactly the way you want it to be. If you can plug into this machine for as long as you want, would you do it? Sometimes I wonder how it feels to drive a Porsche, right? I have so many Porsches around the city now. I wonder what it feels like to drive a Porsche. So I can design my occupation so that I make enough money to buy the thing I want to buy. And maybe some of us here, we want to live somewhere that's a little bit more peaceful, I think, or maybe less problems, less stress, less work. So you can design your life so that you make enough money, or just design your life that you're born with enough money so that you can live in Honolulu for the rest of your life and you don't have to work to anything because your dad's rich or your mom is rich and you have just money flowing down your pipes or something. Or maybe it's the opposite, right? You want to have more events, you know, more excitement and more thrill into your life so you can design yourself to be a Hollywood superstar and you can have, you know, keep shooting movies and stuff. Maybe that's you. Or how about this, right? Especially to younger folks here. You can create your ideal boyfriend or your girlfriend modeled after the looks of a K-pop star without the baggage that comes with the K-pop star. I think that's perfect. That's brilliant. And the thing is, they will love you. You can design it so that they will love you. You can design it so that they're gentle, they're loving, they're kind, they're smart, whatever that you want to them. And the best thing is you can design yourself so that you match with this perfect human being. Right? So you can maybe lose a couple of weight here and there, gain some muscles here and there, and tweak some IQ, EQ so that you can, you know, match with the perfect human being that you will date for the rest of your life inside the machine. Would you plug in? It's an interesting question. Would you plug in to this machine? Perfect life, happy life, ideal life. I've asked some people, actually. Some said no, but they couldn't tell me why. They just said, something doesn't feel quite right. Something's missing. Something feels odd that I'm just lying down here, but I'm having the life of my life, you know, the best time of my life. Something doesn't feel right. But why? Or maybe you're on the other side of the spectrum, right? You're like, heck yeah, please, like, just channel all the resources of all the scientists and technology and engineers and just make this thing happen as soon as possible. Because I can't wait to get out of this life right now. Like, if this is here, I'm just going to plug in for the rest of my life. See you, bye, and I'll see you when eternity comes, right? So maybe that's you. And I think that's understandable. Because once you get into this machine, you get happiness. You get all the ingredients for happiness. And you know this. Subconsciously, we all know this, right? If you just look at this happiness equation, you know, in your life, if you get better possessions, peaceful circumstances, more thrilling experiences, and the right relationship, and perfect happiness, if you just add a dose of these, unto your life and you get happiness. We know this, right? That's how we live by. So even though now we don't plug into this machine, because it's not invented yet, we strive to create our real life experience as close as possible to what the machine can do. So in some ways, we're working our lives to be one that is in the machine. So what do? Right? We work ourselves and we get high-paying jobs so that we can buy that dream car or buy that handbag or go to the house, the apartment, and vacation and whatever. And then you can work really, really hard so then you can have a vacation, right? You can work hard to have a vacation. You go to Honolulu, Japan, Taiwan, Europe, whatever. You work hard so that you can take a break. You work hard so that you can take a break. You work hard so that you can take a break. And you work hard so that you can take a break without working anymore. Or maybe you want thrill experiences, right? So maybe you know, you really love going to movies, you really love going to TV shows, whatever, the amusement parks, and or maybe some of us, you purposely put yourself into dramatic relationships or even some sensual experience so that you can get that thrill, make the heart pump fast. And I don't have to mention too much about how we date, right? We make sure we get the right person that we like and that looks good, so that we can spend the rest of our lives looking at them, make sure they look good to us. These things matter, right? These things matter. They give us happiness. They look good. They feel good. So even if the experience machine is not invented yet, we still plug. We just plug into this equation and just try to make our life as close as what we believe to be ideal. Is there a problem? Is there any problem with having the car? Having the house or having the handbag, you know, we all work hard, you know, we deserve that vacation, we deserve to feel good. Everybody wants things that feel good and look good. There's nothing wrong. We just want our lives to be happy, yeah? That's what God's here to do, right? That God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to have a happy life. There's nothing wrong with happy Christians wanting a happy life, right? That's not too much to ask for God. And that's what I want to talk about today. Pursuing happiness as a Christian. Happy Christians having a happy life. Is that a problem? When is that a problem, if that's ever a problem? I don't think that's a problem, but only to an extent. Let me show you this, right? 1 John, we've been reading that in our devotion plan. 1 John, the author writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And we go, we don't love the world. We just like it a lot. And you know, all God's creation is good, right? God says after he made everything, everything's good. So by logic, he created the ingredients to make a handbag or to make a Porsche. So that must be good too, right? So by that logic, everything is good. It feels good. There's nothing wrong. I just like it a lot. I don't love it yet. I like it a lot. And besides, right, what's the world anyway? Like John makes it sound like it's a bad thing. And John explains it to you. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. He explains to you what the world is. The desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life are things in the world and from the world. Desires of the flesh are things that make you feel good, make your body feel good, to pump you up. Yeah? Eyes, things that look good to your eyes, things that give you that wanting of something. Pride of life, maybe something that makes you feel proud, prideful, something that makes you feel like you own something more than the other person. And when we look at these, it's a little oddly similar to the things in that past equation, don't you think? And these things are not from the Father. These things is from the world. So does God have something against happy life? I don't think so. I don't think God has anything against happy life. But I believe the main reason why John writes this is because he knows that God knows these things don't work. Because he goes on to say in the next verse, "The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." The world, everything that we desire, everything that feels good, looks good, makes you proud, they will pass away. They were temporary. They are temporary. And you know this to be true, right? You know this to be true. When you store up yourselves happiness according to this equation, that happiness seems to run out very quickly. Because that new handbag all of a sudden is not very precious anymore. That new car is not too new anymore. That iPhone 10 is not the newest thing anymore. That vacation all of a sudden is over and you have to face the reality of your work. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your partner, all of a sudden is not as good looking or as cute or as nice to you anymore. And for sure, all of a sudden, yourself, 18, and then very soon you're gonna be 25, you're gonna be 30, 40, 60, that doesn't last too. So the world, the things in this equation doesn't last. I want to get you there. This is the world is a temporary solution to an eternal problem. Temporary happiness does not fulfill the eternal longing in your heart. And I can tell you, you are made for eternity. So don't put something as temporary to fill what is meant for eternity. So you can plug into this experience machine all you want, but one day, I tell you, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to face the reality of eternity and you realize these things don't work. You simply cannot take what is temporary to fill what is meant for eternity. And that is why God warns you to not go after the world. Because he knows for your sake, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So is God against a happy life? I don't think so. I don't think he is. But he is against a happy life that doesn't work. Because he desires for you to have more. He desires for you to have joy. You hear this word a lot of times. He desires for you to have joy. Joy that lasts. Joy that's eternal. Joy that fulfills you. How do I know? Jesus said this in one of his speech, in one of his sermons. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Is your joy full? Are you full of joy? And if anyone in this world was to have that perfect kind of happiness, contentment, joy, fulfillment, it would be the Son of God himself, right? And this Son of God, he said, he wants you to have joy and have joy to the full. I want that. How do we get this joy, right? He said, these things I've spoken to you. So let's take a look at what these things are. In John 15, Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So what Jesus means about these things is this extended metaphor on our relationship with him as branch to a vine, branch to a vine. He is the vine and we are attached to him as branches. And two ideas here really stick out in this passage, and I believe this is Jesus' better equation for joy. So we had that world equation. This is Jesus' equation. And you cannot miss that first part. When you read this, the first idea is abide, right? Jesus just keeps repeating himself like a broken record, you know? Abide in me, abide in me. If you don't abide in me, if I don't abide in you, abide in my love, abide in my word, abide in my... So he said it 10 times in 11 verses. You cannot miss this idea. And abide is a word that we just don't use very much anymore. It has this connotation of living in, right? Like abode. A person's abode is a person's dwelling place. So abide has that living in sort of an idea. And it also has overtones of trust, you know, connected, remaining, trusting, staying in. So if we understand the analogy of a branch to a vine, abiding in him means staying in him, living in him, attaching to him, and remaining connected to him. And British theologian Leslie Newbegin, he comments on this concept of abiding like this. I'm just going to quote it at length here. He said, abiding is a continually renewed action of the will. It is the continually renewed decision that what has been done once for all by the action of Jesus shall be the basis, the starting point, the context of all my thinking and deciding and doing. And he goes on to quote another theologian. He says, abiding means to hold on loyally to the decision once taken. And one can only hold on to it loyally by continually going through it again. But abiding is not primarily a holding of a position, but an allowing oneself to be held. Allowing oneself to be held. This is not too hard to imagine, actually. If you just stick around after service and just watch some of our young children and some of our toddlers, you can sort of understand what abiding can mean. You know, the other day I was just at the lunch table. I saw this young girl, maybe like, I think she's like 3 years old now. She got one of those cups and I guess there's water inside, and she was just chilling in the outside. And I was just at the lunch table watching. Little girl, she has the cup. And she turned and then she knocked over some other kid's drink. And the other kid's drink, and then fell on the floor. And then the other kid was sort of like stunned. But not talk about the other kid. This little girl, she was just shocked. Like, she just stood there and she just became a stone. Like, she didn't know what to do. I think it's because it's probably one of the very first bad moments of her life. Oh, I feel so bad, but she didn't know how to express it. So she was just stunned. She just stood there shocked and she just, what do I do? And then I was just watching, right? And around 10 seconds later, her face has changed, right? She just crumbled down because she feels guilty. She feels absolute. She feels horrible. And she starts to cry like a young girl would. And what does she do? She's just crying, and turn around, the dad's there, so just did one of those, you know, and she didn't say anything, but you know what that means. Her dad, just help me, and just put me in your arms, and just hug me. I don't want to be here anymore, just take me out, right? And that's what the little girl does to the dad. And of course, the dad immediately just picked her up, let her sit right here on the arm, and he just walked, you know, just to school with her. I show her some pictures and sort of calm her down a little, explain to her what's happened. And I think they might even have apologized to that little kid. She's still not super comforted. So when the dad lets her down, she does one of those, right? She holds onto the finger of the dad. That's so cute. She holds onto the finger because it's too big, right? She holds onto the finger and they just walked out of the parking lot. Abide. She remains in her father's arms. She lives in her father's love. She holds on to the father, and she allows herself to be held by the father. Abide. Abide. There's this other little girl that I saw last week. She must be like 1.5 or even younger, I think. Very, very small. Very small, like this size. She has a great smile. You know one of those that smile, the smile that comes from the eyes? You get, like if you just block this half and you smile, you know the person's smiling. She has one of those. She's super active. So I guess she just learned how to walk. So she just doesn't stop walking. She just runs around all the time. And last week, you know, I saw her with this pink, big, puffy jacket, one that was a little too big. She just dragged it around. And she was just running around in the hallway. And she was so young that her steps was, of course, not that stable. So she was sort of like half stumbling, half jumping, half skipping, and she was just bouncing around all the place. And poor dad behind her, poor dad, the poor back too. Like he just had to go like this to the little girl because, of course, the dad wants the girl to stay in his proximity. So he bends over so that just in case the girl falls, just in case the girl goes to like maybe like the hot tea station, he's always ready to just reach out and just protect. But he doesn't like overly protect and like make a bubble. He just watches, just close enough to get it right with an arm. And the little girl knows this, of course, and she's just running around. And all of a sudden, the girl falls like that, like just face down, one of those, face down. And if you're on the side and you're just watching, you would automatically just think that this girl's gonna cry. Oh no! This girl's just face down, face on the floor, and then like that, one of those. And she looked up. She kept smiling, kept giggling, kept smiling. And I was like, wow, because, and then the dad does what the dad does. He picked her up and just, you know, made her stand again. She's so happy. She's so safe and content because she lives in the proximity of the father. And the father always just can grab her whenever she's in trouble. And the little girl, you know, brought herself up and just tried to stabilize a little, turned to the father and gave him one of those, you know, eye smiles, and then just psh, and then go again, like all the way, and just run around the hallway again. Abide, abide. She lives in the presence and the protection of the Father. She trusts in the Father, and she remains in the Father's reach. Abide. Now, if you can just take these two relationships and just magnify it to eternity, like just blow it up to eternity. Blow those emotions that those girls you can imagine to have and just magnify it to eternity. That's what Jesus wants for us. When we abide in him, when we live in him, when we remain in him, the joy and contentment and security and safety of God rests in us. And while the joy of the child, as they grow older, may dim a little, but the love of God and his presence never falters. It never grows old. The love of God remains forever. His steadfast love endures forever. So abide, like the branch connected to a vine, like the child remaining in the Father's arm and trusting him. We abide in Jesus. This is where joy comes from. Do you want this joy? And the second idea that you cannot miss from this passage is bear fruit. John 15, part of that passage, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." The branch's purpose is to bear fruit. The point of the branch is to bear fruit. You plant grapevines so that you can have grapes. And I'm just beating on this dead horse, but if you have a branch, your purpose is to get fruit out. If you are a branch, you have a purpose. And I want to specifically speak to some of you here. I want to let you know this, that God did not make you by accident. God did not make you because he was bored. You're not just a result of some cells and biology that's forming inside a person's womb. You're not just that one in 7 billion. And you might certainly not feel like it, but you are not an accident. You're not just a chance. You're not just a mistake. You're not just an afterthought. You're not just a nice to have. You're not just another kid. You're not neglected. You're not forgotten. You're not abandoned, because God made you for a reason. He had you in mind when he made you. He has you here for a reason, for a purpose. And you are the way you are, the way you look, the way you think, for a purpose. Your life is not meaningless. Just like a branch has the purpose to bear fruit, you too have a purpose in your life. And I tell you, when you fulfill this purpose, Jesus says there's joy. Just like when he fulfilled his purpose to reveal the Father, take away our sins, die on our behalf, come back to life, and he will come again. When he does that, he has joy unspeakable because he fulfilled his purpose in the loving presence of the Father. The same way, you have a purpose in your life. You can find joy by fulfilling that purpose. And the question is, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? I don't know. I don't know what your purpose is. Two things I know. I know you have one, and I know where you can find it. I can't find it for you, but why don't you ask the person who made you, what is my purpose here in life? And I can guarantee you that his purpose for you has something to do with all that he is. You know, the goodness, love, kindness, righteousness, generosity, all these things, receiving them and giving to a person in need. I guarantee you it has something to do with this. But specifically, how do you go about it? I don't know. Why don't you ask? When you fulfill that purpose, you will have joy, and your joy will be full. And this is Jesus' equation to everlasting joy. Abide, bear fruit, joy. Or word it another way, when you receive the love from God and you get the purpose from God, you'll have joy from God. So now we have two equations. Two equations that you can live by. Which one do you plug into? Which one do you plug into? If you chose the Christ way, I want to let you know this is not a one-time decision. It's a continual act, like what we said. Continual action, continually renewed action, because you have to keep on abiding, keep on remaining, keep on connecting. And how do we go about doing this? There are so many ways to do it. And I just want to give you one very simple exercise. This is from John 15:10. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keep my commandments. Now, in one sense of the word, keep my commandments, it means obedience, it means to obey. But on the other hand, it means to hold fast, to guard. So how do you hold fast to the word of God? Or how do you let the word of God hold you? Take a few minutes each day to do devotion. You know, we have that devotion booklet. If you haven't started, you should give it a try. Read it, read those scriptures, read it aloud. But when you read it, pay attention to see if there's any one particular word or phrase or idea that stick out to you. And when you sense that, you reread that word and idea and phrase and just live in it for a bit. Remain in it. Connect to those one idea. Hold on to it and let it hold you. What sticks out to you about that idea, that verse? Any thoughts? Any situations, any feelings, response that you think about, and take all these in dialogue with God and just remain in Him. But here's the important part. Here's the important part. This is even more important. Don't just leave it for the day and go on. Don't just leave it. Keep coming back to it. You know, that's why it's one idea. So you can remember and you can keep recalling, keep remaining into that word, keep holding on to it. And throughout that day, remember that one thought, one idea, and bring it back out and keep living in it. And keep dialoguing with God throughout the day. You know, I used to put that verse in my phone alarm, and I named my alarm to that verse. So every 3 hours, it would pop up and would show me, oh, into your hands I commit my soul. So that's how I used to do it. When you hold fast to the word of God this way, you live in His words daily. When you live in His words live in you. And you hold on to Him, and He holds on to you. And I'm confident, very confident, that you will see change in your life. You'll see joy and love and purpose just start to fill from here and overwhelm you in a good way. So we're back to that question. What do you plug into? Do you plug into the world and the machine? Do you plug in it for the rest of your life? Better possessions, peaceful circumstance, thrilling experiences, right relationships, perfect appearances, and you get happiness that's temporary. Or will you plug into another source? Will you plug into the vine, the source of everlasting joy, the source of joy that works, that fulfills you, makes you content and lack nothing, the joy that satisfies you and quench your thirst, the joy that remains constant through life's toughest trials, and the joy that remains steadfast when the world crumbles down on you? And bring, this joy comes with it love. This joy comes with it a purpose. And this joy goes all the way to eternity. So what are you plugged to? Were you plugged to Jesus, the only one that can give you that joy? The invitation is given to each one of you. How do you respond? Will you respond? Let's stand.
Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back, I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all in all. Joy and my salvation, and his hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Oh, everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need.
You are everything I need. Ooh. You are everything I need.
Christ is enough.
You are everything I need, Jesus. You're my hope and my joy. You're my love and my purpose.
Yes, oh Jesus.
Oh, you are everything I need. So I just want you. And nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else. And nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. And nothing else. nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, Jesus.
Nothing else,
Jesus.
Nothing else will do.
I just want you, nothing else, nothing else.
We want nothing,
nothing else will do. I just want you.
You're enough.
Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Proclaim it once again.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough.
Yes, he is.
Let's pray together. God has given each one of us an invitation, a personal invitation. He has spoke to every single one of us today. And I want to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to Him, to receive from Him the joy that He has promised you. I'm going to speak to first this one group that when you walked in the door today, you call yourself atheist. Maybe there's some of you in here, when you walked in the door today, you call yourself an atheist. You said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Christ. I've never been to church. God spoke to you today. He has given you an invitation to believe in Him, to receive from Him that joy. And if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see, so I can pray for you? If that's you, if you come in here for the first time, this is one of the first times you hear the gospel, you hear the promise from God, you hear His desire, if that's you, and you want to receive Him, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Maybe you have tried to find that happiness from the world and you haven't had much success. His desire is to give you joy that overflows. If that's what you want, would you raise your hand so I can see and I can pray for you? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I see you. If that's you, if you have that yearning, if you have that little prompting in your heart saying, do you want to receive my joy? If you hear that, if you have that little yearning from your heart, that prompting from you, would you receive Him today? Make a commitment to follow Him and receive from Him the joy that you cannot find anywhere else. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see and I can pray for you? I see you, I see you. You can put your hands down. The second group, when you walked in the door today, you identify yourself as a Christian. God has also spoken to you personally today. You have made the decision to follow me in the past, but maybe you've forgotten, or you have gotten lost and you have wandered off in the world somewhere. You have tried to find that joy and contentment and fulfillment that comes from Jesus Christ alone. You have tried and tried and tried, and now you're here and you realize none of those things work. And it's God's heart to give you that joy that overflows. It's God's heart to tell you, son and daughter, you don't have to look anywhere else. You can find the joy and love from me. If that's you today, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? If that's you today, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? If you have looked long in the world and you find that none of those things work and you want to receive the joy and love that comes from God alone, if that's you, I would invite you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Let's pray together. God, I want to pray for the people that have never heard this gospel before. And today is the first time that they make this commitment to follow you. God, I thank you for them. I thank you that you still speak today. I thank you that your word is still alive and true and it still speaks to us today. And thank you. And God, I want to pray for those that raised their hand. God, I want to pray specifically for one thing, is fullness. The fullness of God, the fullness of the joy and love that comes from you will fill their hearts. They will go everywhere knowing they are filled with the joy and love of God. And they will even overflow to other people. And God, I pray that this fullness will continue as they continue to abide in you. And they will continue to receive from you joy and love that comes from you alone. And they are content as they continue to follow you. Thank you, God. We pray for that second group of people. God, I pray that they will re-identify themselves as children of God. They will have that identity as the children of God. They had it in the past, but they will reaffirm it, re-hold on to it. That they are the children of God, and in the children of God, as you're in the children of God, if you are in the house of God, you lack nothing. If you're in the presence of God, you lack nothing. If you're in the presence of the Father, you lack nothing. And that's the identity that I want to pray for them, that they will always know deep down in their hearts that they are the son and daughter of God. And they will enjoy your presence. Enjoy your love. Enjoy your peace. Enjoy your hope. Enjoy your generosity. Enjoy your grace. Enjoy your holiness. And all that you are. Thank you, God. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing to receive the benediction from God. May our Father grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. And the church says, amen, 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 amen. Please be seated.